Saddle up your horses.
Welcome to Red Sky Radio with Rob Walter. This is the program that proclaims liberty to the captives of our beloved nation, where truth trumps political correctness, where the uncompromised word of God exposes the works of darkness and sets free those held hostage behind the iron curtain of a shamelessly biased media. For God has called us to stand for truth, and having done all to stand, we will stand. It's time to fight the good fight of faith to preserve our country, our families, fortunes, and sacred honor, to protect our property, our schools, and yes, maybe even salvage some of our churches. America, we have a trail to blaze. It's time to saddle up. It's time to ride. Now, here is your host of Red Sky Radio, Rob Walter.
Well, hello, America, and welcome, world. Red Sky Radio, where we ride hard for the brand of Jesus Christ. God bless you. Got a lot of things to cover today. As always, we're going to get to some things dealing with, we're going to cover a lot of things fake today. Fake justice, fake Christians, fake seminaries, we're not going to spend time in the fake media. We already know about that. We've covered that too much. But if you want to reach me, have a comment, question, criticism, what have you, have at it. Address is info@redskyradio.net, info@redskyradio.net. I do not do Twitter. I do not do Facebook. Sorry, I'm not buying into those things. Those things, as we know, are tainted by increasingly left-wing control of the content, and I just don't really need any more criticism than what we already generate, but that is as it is. So let's get rolling today. I start with good news. Going to end with a sobering news today. In between, we are going to cover a whole bunch of things. Don't go away. Got some scriptures to share with you that relate to present day events. So you might want to have a paper and pen handy to jot those down. But the first thing, good news, is a federal judge appointed by George Bush in California put a stay or put an injunction against California's law recently signed by Gavin Newsom requiring that President Trump release his tax returns before he could be on the ballot. Now, we covered this a couple of months ago or a month and a half ago when they passed. I said this is blatantly constitutional. And this judge said so also. It's blatantly unconstitutional. But it's going to get appealed, and amazingly, California's the SOS for California, it is an SOS, it's stuck on stupid, is going to appeal this blatantly unconstitutional law, which targets a Republican passed by a Democratic legislature. I mean, it is so ill-conceived, it is so obvious, it's so blatant, it's such an egregious violation of the Constitution. But I will tell you, as I've said before, the Democrats in California and elsewhere, but particularly in California, really don't know the difference between the Constitution and toilet paper. And they treat the latter, they treat the former like the latter. They don't care. They don't care about the Constitution. Well, the judge stopped it. And interesting, I want to say, there is so much lawlessness that comes out of the state. But basically what the judge said is, what we've been saying on this program is, you don't get to rewrite the Constitution. The Constitution lays out the requirements for running for a national office. You can't do that at the state level. And they attempted to do it. They don't care. They couldn't give a rat's rear end about what the Constitution says because they apparently think that might makes right. With the biggest economy, they got the most people. Well, yeah, you stuff it with 12 million illegals, and it would be the biggest economy for sure and the highest population. But it also, they said, look, it violates the freedom of association. It's targeting one person, Trump. And consider the consequences of this. In addition to the fact that this law specifically would disenfranchise all of California's Republicans. Now, they only make up, 28% of the populace, but about 40% of the people vote Republican. They aren't 40% of the people that are registered aren't registered Republican, but 40% vote Republican, 60% vote with the Democrats. But consider the consequences if you allowed this kind of legislation. And forgive me if I'm repeating something from a few weeks back or a month and a half back when we first covered this. So a state like Texas could just say, okay, nobody can run for president in this state. You cannot run for president. Whoever you are, Kamala Harris, Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders, right on down the line. Unless you release all of your contributions to every queer organization you've had any association with, to every pro-abortion organization, to just go right on down the line. So you can out the Democrats for what they are, animated by the dark side. Look where this leads to. But California could not care less about precedent. All they care is about the president. They want to destroy the man and any Republican legacy he might be leave behind, and all vestiges of Christianity and conservatism at the cost of the Constitution. Well, this is what I find interesting. The scripture calls the Antichrist the lawless one. Lawlessness is the defining characteristic of the Antichrist. Now, it manifests in many ways, but he's lawless at all levels. And so I kind of consider this California as being apparently the most Antichrist state in the Union. The most. Because they are the most lawless at all levels of any state, bar none. And the ooze and the infection from that state spreads. And I might just throw in here a little tidbit. Los Angeles, just LA, not even the county. I'm sorry, it was the county. The county of LA, not the city, but just one county, paid $1.3 billion, with a B, in taxpayer money to illegal aliens via welfare. The most recent statistics, $1.3 billion in taxpayer money to illegal aliens. You think that they're lawless? Absolutely. It's their defining characteristic. Okay, moving on. We're going to start now. I want to focus on the fake for about half of this program. And I want to skip fake news because we've covered that ad nauseum. We all know that the media basically were whores for Hillary. They pimped for Obama, and now they're prostituting themselves for any and every Democrat candidate that's running for president. But I want to start with the fake intellectuals. Fake. Robert Francis Fake Mexican O'Rourke. I'm just going to start with him briefly. He's supposed to be the smart guy from Texas, right? Well, really not so much. The other day, this is unbelievable. He uses Kent State as an example to ban citizens from owning firearms. Okay, the Kent State example, right? So we go back to May of 1970. I know that date well because that's the date that May of 1970 is when I was inducted into the Army. Okay, so Kent State happened at that very same time. But Beto, in a supposedly intellectual moment, says that Kent State is the example to ban people from owning firearms. Beto doesn't even realize or know who did the shooting. Who did the shooting at Kent State? It was the government. It was the Army. It was the National Guard specifically, but they're part of the Army. I was part of the Army National Guard. They're the ones that do the shooting domestically. Just like it's government troops that kill 99% of all people worldwide historically, innocently, are done by savage socialistic governments. So Beto's out there saying, because At Kent State, the government shot innocent civilians. This is the reason for banning civilians from owning firearms. Do you see the ridiculous stupidity of this? The fact is, what Beto doesn't even realize he's doing is making a case for owning AR-15s, for people to be armed against a ruthless, tyrannical government where the citizens are disarmed and only the government troops have the guns. But he doesn't even make the connection. And trying to lambaste the NRA, he actually makes a case for why the NRA is absolutely correct. And I might add, you know, when I ended up doing my reserve duty in Ann Arbor, when I went back to school at the University of Michigan, turbulent time, and I'm in a fraternity house, and on occasion, I think maybe two occasions, possibly three, I was notified to be ready to come down to the armory, get ready to suit up because of potential riot in Ann Arbor. Now, this is all after Kent State. And I have to tell you, it was a daunting thought that I'm going to go down there, put on a gas mask, load up my M16, several 20-round magazines, bayonet on the M16, and go out in the street and face some people who are my fraternity brothers. They knew I was in a gas mask somewhere, or they would have, not knowing which one, but I would be able to know which ones are there. And fortunately, praise God, it never came to that. But I understood, even at that time, the great disequilibrium, if you were, how unbalanced it was. We're sitting here loaded and armed to the teeth, gas mask, bayonet, lots of ammo, and students who obviously were not armed. Folks, that's what socialism does, is it shoots innocent people. You're right. Okay, there's Lita sent in. Thank you, Lita, wherever you are. She sent in this little quip that I thought was actually very superb, and I'm going to save it. It's kind of one of those things just kind of going into my personal archive, that you can vote in socialism. Anybody, you can always vote socialism in by way of election, but you have to shoot your way out. How true it is. And the problem is, under socialist governments, you don't have the opportunity to shoot your way out. Next, fake Christians, fake evangelicals. The next one in our fake department. Jim Wallace, I don't know why anybody calls him an evangelical. He's just caught up in this climate change crapola and everything. He's pro-abortion, he's pro-queer, all the stuff and everything, although he tries to kind of fake it like the main thing in the gospel is for the government to take care of the poor. And he's wrong on the only thing that he really stands on. God loves a cheerful giver, right? You give out of your heart. You don't give because somebody's holding a gun to your head. Those taxes are not a Christian commitment to in the course of paying. That's a confiscatory action by the government. Now, does Jesus support the paying of taxes? Yes. And what for? Well, because there was one purpose to which the government was put back in his time, and that was to maintain civil order, law and order, and defend against barbarians, hordes from any direction. It was for preservation and protection. It was not a confiscatory action to support the poor. As laudatory as giving to the poor is, and it is, it's not a government function. So Wallace is wrong on the only thing he stands on. But so what does he do? He comes out and he writes a book just released called Christ in Crisis: Why We Need to Reclaim Jesus. All right, so according to Jimmy Baby here, Jesus Christ is now in crisis. Jim, I think you're a little off. Jesus has never been in crisis other than the great dropsy sweat as blood in the garden, considering what would lay before him, that he did for our salvation, but that point has escaped you. More on that when we return. Don't go away. That's Sky Radio.
Well, hey, how are you? Welcome to Red Sky Radio. I am the tech guy, and consider this a PSA. I want to quickly tell you how you can get all the episodes. You can go to darkskyradio.com. Once you get there, go towards the right. You'll see on the menu page a Red Sky Radio tab. Click on that tab, and voila, there you are. There's a media player. You can go through and listen to all the past episodes. You can go through and download all the past episodes. If you scroll down to the bottom of the page, what you'll find is a Google Play button. You can click on that and subscribe to this radio show via Google Play, or to the left, you can go to iTunes, and that button there will take you to a new page, the Podomatic page. You can subscribe right there and listen. You can scroll down on that page to the right and find the iTunes subscribe button. Thank you so much for listening to Red Sky Radio.
This is Rob Walter. We are back with Red Sky Radio. I've got to back up here a second because I gave you sort of a quote. It was a paraphrasation from Lita who sent this in. But I didn't do something I always try to do. I overlooked it. I didn't give credit to the person who actually said this comment on socialism. So forgive me, Mr. Larry Lambert, who said this. I want to give you credit for this. It was insightful. Larry said, and I repeat, and I'm going to quote now, "The problem with socialism is that you can vote your way into it, but you need to shoot your way out of it." End quote. And I should have just quoted him instead of paraphrasing, and he was much better quoted than paraphrased. But thank you, Larry, for that insightful comment. Thank you, Lita, for sending it in. Back to Jim Wallace, who wrote the book Christ in Crisis, Why We Need to Reclaim Jesus. Well, what I'm perceiving from Mr. Wallace's thing here is that if Christ is in crisis, which he isn't, it's Mr. Wallace who has put Christ in crisis, into a crisis. Jesus doesn't really need help, but this is what he said. Not Jesus, Wallace. Quote, "Given our cultural conformities to starkly different values than what he, Jesus, proclaimed, I think Jesus needs to be reclaimed and is worth reclaiming." End quote. How big of you, Jim, to say that Jesus is worth reclaiming? I'd hate to think what your perspective on so-called Christianity would be if you said he wasn't worth reclaiming, but it's a bigger point than that, Jim. The point is Jesus doesn't need to be reclaimed. It's not like we need to salvage Jesus. It's not like he got tossed into a trash bin. You just go out and preach the word. Be in season and out of season, you preach the word. You preach it from power and from the anointing of the Holy Spirit, which I see not reflected in anything you have ever written, Wallace, not in the least. We don't need to reclaim Jesus. Jesus speaks for himself. We proclaim that word. We don't need to reclaim him. Wallace says that Donald Trump has been too busy advancing unbiblical ideas like white nationalism. So here we go. This is your leftist so-called fake Christians. It says, I mean, you say, "Well, yeah, I'm judging the guy." Well, it just says you know them by the fruit of, you know the tree by its fruit. I don't see anything Christian coming from this guy at all. That's all I can say. Not one single thing ever. But he's heralded as some big time evangelical Christian. So he's got his own definition of white nationalism. You know what? I hope that this country would be filled with whites who are nationalistic, filled with blacks who are nationalistic, filled with Hispanics and Asians who are nationalistic. In other words, all races would love this nation and proclaim its founding, proclaim its godly origin, proclaim its calling, proclaim its singular, supportive position regarding Israel. Well, there are a few other island nations, little countries that support Israel, but mostly because those nations or those little island nations get support from us. So they sort of do what we want them to do, but that's okay. Wallace goes on to say, the kingdom of God is not represented by either party. So how do we practice the politics of Jesus? And there's no perfect candidates here. What do we think the politics of Jesus are? Well, I'll tell you, Jimmy, baby, this is what the politics of Jesus are. Would he be a Democrat? Absolutely not. Would he be a Republican? No. He would be biblical, which from a perspective of analysis by Democrats in the media would make him to the right or more conservative than the Republicans, because there are many biblical things Republicans don't hold up. There are some Republicans do hold up. There's none that Democrats hold up. None. Not even down to helping the poor, because they don't do it in a biblical way. That's right. So Jesus would be all about the Bible. And he did speak to things. He supported the idea of paying taxes to support the troops. He also called Herod a fox. He called the religious fakes and hypocrites a brood of vipers. You whitewashed sepulchers, you hypocrites. Well, okay. So let's just consider one thing. When Jesus returns, if you want to know what Jesus' politics would be today and how he might vote, I want you to just listen to this question and you can answer it yourself. When Jesus returns and sets up the millennial kingdom, I don't mean a kingdom of a pack of millennials, but the thousand-year reign of Jesus Christ, when he sets that up and he rules and reigns out of Jerusalem, let me ask you, now there are going to be people who have been raised from the dead, Christians who return with them. That's what we do. And there'll be some that are still on earth. They're still mortals on the earth. That's very clear. And anybody who studied any measure of eschatology would agree with that, at least as far as that goes. Do you really think Jesus is going to allow abortion? Do you really think Jesus is going to allow same-sex marriage, queer adoption, LGBTQRSTUVWXYZ? Do you really think he's going to go against the Word? It says in John, he is the Word made manifest. How can he go against himself? The scripture says God is not a man that he can lie. So I tell you a little bit about Jesus' politics today is what would he allow and set up when he returns? And you aren't going to see any of that garbage. Okay, next one. Fake seminaries. Fake seminaries. They're everywhere, folks. I mean, I have attributed the fall of this country to a couple of things, starting at the pulpit, which it has not preached the word of God, gutless, ignorant, scared, whatever, want to be liked by man more than they want to be liked by Jesus, by God, so they take the weenie way out and compromise the gospel. We've got that, and that's where we are. We also have a problem, though, and it extends fundamentally back to the pastors again, that parents have their kids in government schools. They've turned over the instruction of their children to the devil. Yep, you heard me right. The schools are basically government schools. They're not public schools. If they're public and they're open to everything, well, then try doing what you want to do as a Christian in a public school, and you'll find out it's not that public. It's a government school. You will eat what they have force-fed you to consume, and your kids end up screwed up. Your grandchildren end up screwed up. Yes, you can delegate the education of your children to whomever you want, but you can never ever absolve yourself of the responsibility or escape the liability, if you will, of turning them over to the devil and have them be educated by somebody else. You share the blame. I would share the blame. I made a very, very costly decision that proved to be the best investment I ever could 25 years ago when I got my children out of a government school. Guess what? They both serve the Lord today vigorously, zealously. They're both married to great Christian women and have got great Christian grandchildren. All because I put their education, Christian education, first. Now, am I some big hero? No. I've done a bunch of things wrong, but I've done a few things right, and that was one of them. So let's get back to where these fakey pastors like Jim Wallace and evangelicals come from. Many of them come from fake seminaries. So let's go to the New York-based Union Cemetery, right? Well, that's where you go for your faith to die. No, it's called the Union Seminary. But spiritually, people die when they go to this place. It has no business. You don't have any business hiring anybody from that seminary if you're on some church board, unless you grill that guy to pieces about what they've learned. So this is what they did last week. They posted a photo of their chapel service, which showed a student sitting on the ground on his knees, bowing before a bunch of potted plants. That's right, offering confession over failures to protect the environment. This is what the Union Seminary tweeted out. And I want to quote. I mean, you might have a pan ready because you might be ready to hurl here at this blasphemous so-called seminary. Quote, "Today in chapel, we confessed to plants. Together, we held our grief, our joy, our regret, our hope, our guilt, and our sorrow in prayer, offering them to the beings who sustain us, but whose gift we too often fail to honor. What do you confess to the plants in your life?" Can you believe this crapola? Can you believe this garbage? So they went on to say that our community confessed, this, I'm quoting again, "the harm we've done to planets, speaking directly to the plants in repentance." End quote. Continuing, "We are in the throes of a climate emergency, a crisis created by humanity's arrogance, our disregard for creation. Far too often we see the natural world only as resources to be extracted for our use, not divinely created in their own right or worthy of honor, thanks, and care." So what they're saying is the Dominion mandate, because that's what they're saying, that these their theologies, well, I got to continue here. "Churches have a huge role to play in this endeavor. Theologies that encourage humans to dominate and master the earth have played a deplorable role in degrading God's creation. We must birth new theology." Let me just insert, in other words, something having nothing to do with God or his word. "New liturgy," I insert, something having nothing to do with God or his word, "to heal and sow, replacing ones that reap and destroy." End quote. They don't, I got to go back to my previous quote here about there are those out there who don't know the difference between the Constitution and toilet paper. They treat the former like the latter. I got to apply this to the Word of God here. Here's a seminary that doesn't know the difference between the Bible and toilet paper and treats the former like the latter. Go read Genesis 1:26, you Nimrods, where it says, "Let man have dominion." They are complaining about dominion. They're confessing dominion when the Word says we are to have dominion. Now, it doesn't say we go out and intentionally pollute or what have you. No, we don't do those things. Yeah, we try to do what's necessary, and to some extent is recycling okay to some extent. I'll tell you, I've got a lot against certain recycling, but yeah, our landfills are filling up, and I don't know what we do with all of that. So I encourage mindful, respectful environmental policies. But to be sitting here and confessing your sins to plants to whom we have supposedly dishonored? Look, it says basically in Scripture that if we don't worship the Creator, you will inevitably worship the creation. That's true. Look at Romans 1. Romans 1. Take, just write that down. Romans 1, where Paul, speaking under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, goes to say that in essence, the invisible things of Him, the Lord, from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So we don't have any excuse to say that there is no God, right? We don't have that excuse. But it goes on to say that we've changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image. We've gone on to dishonor ourselves by worshiping the creation instead of the Creator. That's exactly what they are doing in this lame-brain seminary. And not only is this blasphemous, the whole idea of bowing down and confessing sins to plants who weren't even there. What damage have we done to the plants? The plants weren't even there 3 weeks ago. They just got planted, right? The stupidity. But it goes beyond that. Do you realize that they are worshiping the creation over the Creator? And this is a seminary that now is advancing and encouraging that which God cites as being more abominable than anything else, more than abortion, queer stuff, you name it, it's idolatry. Look at the Ten Commandments, you seminary students, and try to learn from them. But they've shoved them aside to worship the creation more than the Creator, to put something else and worship something else before they worship God. They're confessing to plants, not to God. I got to tell you, this stuff just... Well, someone asked me one time, well, what do you do for fun? So I do the radio program. Well, that's not really true. The radio program is rewarding because I know it's part of my calling. All right? Some people say, well, you know, it says in Scripture that, you know, one man plants, another man waters, and then God gives the increase, right? Right. So they say, what are you? Do you plant or do you water? Well, actually, I feel like I'm the guy who comes around and applies the weed killer. I sort of feel like that's my calling at this point in time. Calling out those things which, as it says in Ephesians, were to expose the works of darkness, being the watchman on the wall. But I need to lighten up sometimes, and where do I go to lighten up? I want to tell you about a website I enjoy called the Babylon Bee. I mentioned it last week briefly. But I want to read to you something that they wrote about this Union Seminary idolatrous, blasphemous garbage about worshiping and confessing sins to plants. A seminary. That's why I call it a cemetery, right? So sometimes I the reality is so heavy, I got to find levity in satire, Christian satire, and done well. You can accomplish more in 2 minutes of great Christian satire than I could probably accomplish in the 56 minutes I'm on the air. So I just want to read you one example. And now they discuss the Union Seminary thing, and you might go check this out. You might find some of it boring. Some of it I do. Some of it is uproariously funny. Some of it I don't necessarily agree with, but I love the writers of this. They just put everything to the test, from conservative thought to so-called Christians and liberal thought. They put it to the test, subject it to satire, and I think you'll enjoy it about 80 to 95% of the time. Here's their story, entitled Disaster at the Union Seminary as Giant Angry Carnivorous Plant Does Not Accept Students' Apologies. That's the title of the article. Harlem, New York. Union Seminary recently held a chapel service where its students could apologize to plants for their climate sins. Everything seemed to be going well as seminarians apologized for taking an Uber instead of walking, accidentally eating meat, and basically for just existing at all. But the touching proceeding soon took a turn for the worse, for Zen Hapling, a freshman at Union, approached a drooling giant Venus flytrap and apologized for his sin, saying, "Oh, great green viney one, I am sorry for all the methane I've released. and for all the times I've spoken releasing chemicals into the air. The plant wasn't having it, however, and swallowed them in one chomp, and then began a murderous rampage, locking the doors with its tendrils and devouring all the students in the chapel. "Destroy all humans," it bellowed, as it ate student after student who had confessed all their climate sins. One Buddhist priest, however, employed by the Christian seminary, was cornered by the plant and begged for mercy. He said, "Please, I have not so much as killed a fly," he whimpered. The Venus flytrap responded, "I hate flies." And the plant cried before opening its powerful jaws and cleaving the priest in two. Campus faculty, however, say the event was a success, as now there are far fewer humans around to pollute the planet. Okay, that's what I do for fun, folks. I find some satirical humor that makes fun of the absurdity that shows up in the name of Christianity and left-wing politicians. But speaking of idolatry, here's the Church of Sweden, which announced that Greta Thunberg is the apparent successor to Jesus Christ. This is a little 16-year-old climate change whack job that the Democrats use as a as child abuse to prop up the climate change hysterical theatrics that they're all about. So Greta is on there screaming and wailing and what have you, and it's supposed to really encourage people by using this 16-year-old abused child abused by the Democrats. Gosh, I kind of feel sorry for her. I mean, every picture I've seen of her, the grimacing and the pain and the anguish on her face just simply looks like, you know, she backed into a choya bush or something. I don't know. But you know what? I've got to skip this next piece. I'll say it really quickly. A very concerning study came out here stating that what are true evangelicals who believe the Bible as being inerrant, what are their greatest concerns politically, policy-wise? Is it religious liberty? Is it abortion? Is it the Gestapo? Is it our kids are getting whacked out of anti-Christian, Christian-hating government schools? No. This is sad. It's about health care and the economy. My goodness sakes. Was Bill Clinton right after all? It's the economy, stupid? No, he was dead wrong, and so are evangelicals, allegedly or loosely so-called, that contend that health care and the economy are the most important things. Keep in mind, biblically speaking, we've said this many times, but not for some time, the economy has never been a driver of morals. Morals have always been the driver of the economy. Can't find one example to the contrary. Okay, now we're moving on to the heart of the program here. Dealing with the impeachment. And I want to start this discussion. I'm not going to go into it to the depth that I would like. I'm going to go into it deeper than I did last week, but I have more information. I've considered it. Where do we have biblical application? But I want to start with Trump sharing Pastor Jeffress's tweet, warning that if he's impeached, that there a civil war-like fracture could occur in the United States. Now, I'm just going to preface this with a complete agreement with Pastor Jeffress and Donald Trump. A civil war-like fracture will occur. If you have been listening to this program for any time at all, and I can go back 13 or 14 years when I first started to say that on the present course, at that time, and we're still on that course, this country is headed toward a secession where the country breaks in two. Not necessarily in half, but in two. Could be 50-50, 60-40, 70-30. I don't know where it breaks down, but if you look at a map with all the red on it, I'm going to guess geographically, landmass-wise, there'll be more that are red state, more that's a red state country and less that's a blue state. The blue states being largely confined to the wet left coast and the east coast and the state of Illinois and a few other losers, maybe like Minnesota. But Pastor Jeffress's warning is absolutely true. And I've also said at this pace we are headed for civil war. Now, civil war could lead to the secession, or secession could lead to a civil war. Now, not every secession needs to be followed by civil war. So, I mean, the fact of the matter is if all the people who are working and producing and want good schools and jobs and everything, they all leave, it just leaves a whole bunch of ne'er-do-wells and losers and the elite in the blue states. So they would probably, they want the resources of the red states, they'll probably come after it. I will tell you, if a civil war starts by the left, it will be to punish the right. If the civil war starts by the right, it will be an act of self-defense for what is coming from the left. Sort of like Israel's preemptive strike in the 1967 Six-Day War, because around them were amassed all the armies poised to strike from Syria, from Lebanon, from Jordan, from Egypt, a preemptive strike. It'll be a defensive, self-defense-based preemptive strike if the right fires the first shot. If the left fires the first shot, it'll be just the same as any socialist government where people are crying out for freedom from hundreds of years ago to just these last few weeks in Hong Kong. It's what the leftists do. Voting, you can vote your way into socialism, but you have to shoot your way out of it. Now, here's Mr. Jeffress. Statement. I want to read what he said that has the left going bananas, hysterical, apoplectic. He said, quote, Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats can't put down the impeachment match. They know they couldn't beat him, meaning Trump, in 2016 against Hillary Clinton, and they're increasingly aware of the fact that they won't win against him in 2020. An impeachment is the only tool they have to get rid of Donald J. Trump. And the Democrats don't care if they burn down and destroy this nation in the process. I have never seen the evangelical Christians more angry over any issue than this attempt to illegitimately remove this president from office, overturn the 2016 election, and negate the votes of millions of evangelicals in the process. They know the only impeachable offense that President Trump has committed was beating Hillary Clinton in 2016. That's the unpardonable sin for which the Democrats will never forgive him. If the Democrats are successful in removing the president from office, which I believe they would never will be, it will cause a civil war-like fracture in this nation from which our country will never heal. End quote. So you've got the whistleblower out there who we don't even know. It's sort of like that, what's that show? I can't even remember what it was where they had the unknown comic. Gosh, what is that show? Tell me. Whatever. If you want, info at redskyradio.net. The unknown comic. Guy put a bag over his head. This is the whistleblower who we don't know who it was, and the whistleblower won't come out, and the whistleblower didn't even hear Trump say these things. It's secondhand. It's hearsay. And in an obvious violation of the Sixth Amendment to our Constitution, which says you have the right to confront your accuser. But they don't follow that. So the Civil War-like fracture, what does it really mean? We're going into a break here in a minute, but I want to come back to what Kamala Harris said about this and how she has now perverted, distorted the truth. We'll be right back. Rob Walter, Red Sky Radio.
Red Sky Radio with Rob Walter is a listener-supported program. Please know that 100% of your contribution goes to pay for airtime so that as many people as possible are able to hear that the Word of God has answers to every meaningful problem and issue in life. No one gets paid a salary at Red Sky Radio with Rob Walter, but in response to your support, we pledge to bring you the most timely and critical information you need to help make informed decisions in this age of media bias and a growing hostility to all things Christian. Your partnership makes you one of the watchmen on the wall with us, as described in the book of Ezekiel. Please send your support to Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. That's Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. Thank you.
We're back. This is Rob Walter, the Red Sky Radio. Just before the break, we're talking about the tweet that Trump tweeted quoting Pastor Jeffress, the quote of which I just read before the break, stating that in essence, this impeachment inquiry, if it succeeds, it will lead to a civil war-like fracture in the United States. And why? Because it will be the Democrats effectively having disenfranchised all of us who voted for Donald Trump and put him in the office. Now, I want to get to Kamala Harris's comments here in a minute. But first, just a couple of tweets from Trump. He says, the people, these are the ones that will lose. It's their vote, their freedoms, their Second Amendment, religion, military, border wall, and their God-given rights as a citizen of the United States of America. End quote. That's what's at stake. He goes on to say, quote, as I learn more and more each day, I'm coming to the conclusion that what is taking place is not an impeachment. It is a coup intended to take away the power of the people and their vote. Like I said, their vote, their freedoms. It's a disenfranchisement movement. The Democrats can't stand not being in power. They will go after the restoration of the White House and all the power to control and ruin and screw up our lives as much as possible because they're animated by the dark side. Now, so Kamala Harris, you know, it's amazing whether it's Beto fake Mexican O'Rourke, whether it's Kamala Harris, the nonsense, the hyperbole, the hysterics they go into to try to jumpstart and energize a flailing, losing campaign. And all they do is further marginalize themselves in the process. So she comes out and joining Anderson Cooper. Andy Cooper, what a special guy he is. And stating that what we have here is the president calling for basically civil war. This is the way the media is treating it. He said there's going to be, he's saying we're going to have civil war if I get impeached. First of all, he didn't say it. Jeffress said it. But what Jeffress said was not we're going to have civil war. We're going to have a civil war-like fracture. But this is what the left does. They leave out words like all the words NBC edited on the George Zimmerman call about Trayvon Martin because they wanted to paint him as an obvious racist. But they edited the parts to enable and to present that appearance to maintain the left wing narrative. So she said that this is yet again evidence of the fact that he's delusional and he has a very outsized sense of himself as compared to the history of our country. Explaining why she thought the president should be suspended in a Twitter account, she said there's plenty of evidence to suggest that he is irresponsible with his words in a way that could result in harm to other people. And so the privilege of using those words in that way should probably be taken from him. Wait a second, end quote. Wait a second. Who is doing all the lying? Who's doing all the harming? Who's being irresponsible? Why don't you just look to Adam Schiff, who gets up in front of Congress and lies and what supposedly was quoting Trump's words. Nothing, and there's nothing, no truth to what he said at all in the speech before Congress. He knows he lied, but he knows he's got a pack of whores behind him called the media that won't call him out for it. The pimps are not going to turn. I'm sorry, the prostitutes are not going to turn on the pimp. So they don't, they just put up with it. And here is Kamala Harris basically saying we're going to have a civil war and we need to have his Twitter account taken before we have a civil war. And then she goes on to say that what his talk does is conjure up the very reasons for the first civil war, i.e., he's a racist, and this is hearkening to slavery-based emotions from the first civil war. Do you realize the stupidity here? That what Kami Harris, whose campaign is tanking, is saying is there's only one reason you could possibly have a civil war in the United States, and that is you're racist, and you want to put all the blacks back on the plantations. Well, as everybody knows, from Mr. Douglas to Billy, our Las Vegas Red Sky Radio Bureau Chief, to a whole bunch of people that communicate with me that are black, they say, look, we only have one party of racism, and it's the Democrats. We only have one party that works overtime to keep them on the plantation, and you do it with free cell phones and welfare, blah, blah, blah. But this is Kamala Harris saying, there's only one reason we could possibly have a civil war, and it has to be racist. Okay, this is what's going on. In 3 minutes, 4 minutes, I'm going to give you my analysis. Right or wrong, this is what I'm sensing today. First of all, I want to quote the scripture out of Genesis that says, what Satan intends, or what the enemy intends for evil, in this case Satan, God will use for good. There are, and this is the analysis, there are two sorts of Democrats today. You've got your establishment Democrats, which are evil enough in their own right, and keep getting worse. And then you have the new Democrats, sort of the AOCs. Okay? Pelosi doesn't want to impeach Trump. She's smart enough to know that it'll probably be a viable factor in his reelection, because she knows it's not going to go well, not going to get an impeachment in the Senate. It's just going to be a bunch of hyperbole, and everybody will know that these Democrats do nothing other than waste taxpayer money in their venomous, vitriolic, vengeful, vindictive attack on the president. For what? As Jeffers said, for solely being elected. She doesn't want to do that because she knows it's going to hurt the Dems, especially when the investigation starts to reveal some other facts, because she knows more than the new Democrats know. The new Democrats are not fully aware of everything that the establishment Democrats have done for years, what they've been accessories to, what they have done for years, and the new Democrats don't really seem to understand and realize that the establishment Democrats have been doing for years what they, the new Democrats, are accusing the Republicans and Donald Trump specifically of doing now. So you just look at Joe Biden, right? Joe Biden. Okay, he's so crooked. I mean, he say, I never had any conversation with Burisma or any of their lawyers or their people about my son, Hunter, and so forth. Well, then out comes, of course, the photograph for the four of them, Biden, his son, and the Burisma movers and shakers in the Ukraine are golfing together, but he contends they never had any conversations with him, but he golfs with them. That's only the beginning of it. Biden is washed up. He's toast. But beyond that, I mean, he's got so much embarrassing stuff, he can't let it out. But beyond that, we start to find out that it's the Democrats who have been pressuring the Ukraine for the last 2 or 3 years to dig up dirt on Trump. And even Schiff himself comes out and has said and has been confirmed that he would take whatever dirt he could find on the president from the Ukrainians. So in other words, they're doing and have been doing what they contend Trump is doing, but which he hasn't been doing. That's right. Just take what you've been doing and accuse somebody else of it. But here's the worst of it for them. As Bill Barr, who needs our prayers, begins to unravel everything that Barack Hussein himself conspired and encouraged, using foreign governments and foreign influence to influence our 2016 election. The real gig will be up in this investigation, in the impeachment inquiry, when they realize that the collusion of the foreign governments was never with the Republicans. It was with the Democrats. You see, whether Hillary, she's gone on overdrive here trying to impugn Trump because she knows that she ripped Bernie Sanders off out of the nomination. She's the one that got Donna Brazile to provide the questions. She's the one who has been party to corruptive politics. You see, this is why they don't want it. Because Ephesians says we're to expose the works of darkness. And Bill Barr is doing it for us, but pray for that man. It's an Ephesians-like work that he's doing. We got to go. Remember, sit tall in the saddle. You ride for the brand of Jesus Christ. See you next week.